Hi, Chuck.
Hey, Rami.
Hey, so I'm so glad you joined me this morning. Why don't we get started? Tell me who you are and how you came about to this book called Simon Says.
Well, absolutely. It's a pleasure to be on your call. Let me begin by just a little bit about me. Yeah, that is, I've been a speaker and a trainer for the last, 15 years now. I've had the opportunity to speak all over the world to well over 500,000 people, and particularly on topics of business and entrepreneurship, leadership, marketing, but also on personal development, and most importantly, on a passion and a purposeful life. And in the process of all the travels and speaking, what I found was it doesn't matter where you go in the world, people ultimately want the same things. They want their life to count. They want to feel that they have a meaning and a purpose, and it just doesn't matter where you are. It's all the same, and the things that people do ultimately are in hopes that it would lead to that sort of a conclusion. So the book, Simon Says, was really a response to a lot of the same questions that kept popping up as I spoke, and so it was really an answer to those questions, and that's how it all came about.
How did you come up with the title? I think that's pretty catchy, Simon Says.
I appreciate that. I'm one of those people that gets bored easily, so I like things to be creative. And Simon Says is really referring to, as you obviously imagine here, the kids' game. Mm-hmm. You know, that we all played Simon Says as kids, and you know, it was a fun game. You know, Simon Says touch your nose, Simon Says stand on one foot, and we would all do that. The thing is that we weren't supposed to play that our whole life. Mm-hmm. See, and most people are still playing Simon Says. They're doing whatever they think society is telling them to do. They're doing perhaps even what their parents have told them they ought to do with their life. They're never stopped to say, well, wait a minute, why am I playing the game? Why don't I say, what do I want to do with my life?
Mm-hmm.
So the book Simon Says is referring to the game, and it's really to suggest to stop playing the Simon Says game.
Mm-hmm. And find the purpose in your life.
And go after it. Absolutely.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I really never thought of it that way. You see people on the television talk shows and so forth saying, I just want to know, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? And if for 20 or 30 years you've played the Simon Says game, that makes a lot of sense why, you know, now they're waking up and saying, oh, let's
stop
the game. Yeah.
It's sad. It's a tragedy because life's not a dress rehearsal. We can't go back and say, oh, I get it now. Can I start over? You know,
mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
This is it. And I was just literally last week, I was reading some comments on a forum, and this gal said, you know what? I have been a medical doctor for over 20 years now, and I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. The only reason I became a doctor is because my parents said, you know what? You should be successful and be a doctor. And so she said, I became a doctor, but I'm an artist at heart, and I've
mm-hmm.
always wanted to be an artist, but I've never pursued it because I was playing the Simon Says game. She didn't say Simon Says game, but that's exactly what was happening.
And how do you justify it after you've spent that much money on your education and invested so many years? And I could only imagine she probably really is concerned about her patients and staying, you know, having some stable force for them to come back to her year after year.
Oh, sure. And then she, you know, she has everybody saying, well, you've got it all. You've got it made. You've got everything anybody would dream of, a successful practice. Yeah. What's your problem? Are you going through a, you know, mid-age issue here?
Yeah.
You know,
snap out of it.
What's happening?
So in your book, you mentioned the three levels of living. Can you explain those and why it's significant to understand them?
Oh, gosh, yeah. See, here's the key. This is something that you're not going to learn in school. You're certainly not going to learn from your boss. It's just most people go through life without ever knowing this. And once you have it, it's so simple, but once you understand this, it will change your life forever because it's that awareness factor. And that is this. Most people are living life in the first stage, first level of living. And it's just because they're led there. And that first level of living is survival level, where really it's just people are trying to survive. It's tough out there, especially now. The economy and everything going on and all the insecurity, the changes, they're just trying to survive. And their whole goal in life is to have some sort of peace and security. And so what they're told typically is just, you know, go to school, get some sort of education, graduate, and get a job because that's where you're going to find your security. And truly the result for most people is total stress.
Mm-hmm.
It's stress. They're just one boss's bad attitude day away from losing their job, you know, and it's just, or like this gal, she's in a job she didn't even like. So the first level of living is survival, looking for security, resulting in stress. The second level is where a lot of people actually start thinking about it, and that is what they dream of success. And success is different for everybody. I mean, some people think of success as material success, and other people think of success as, you know, freedom of time. But the bottom line is whatever that level, the second level of living, that successful level, it all comes about when you start looking for opportunities. Like, how can I actually have a life like that? And that happened to me 20 years ago when a real successful gentleman, a friend of my father's actually, said, you know, you don't have to rationalize the results in your life as the ones that are meant for you. You can actually decide what life you want to live and look for opportunities to create that. And so I dove into that second level of life and looked for the right opportunities to create success. And the result is comfort. I mean, certainly choices and comfort, and it's wonderful. But the key is to understand there's a third level. And that third level is significant. And because you probably, all of us would know, you and I and anybody who may end up listening to this, know many successful people that aren't fulfilled. And that third level is called significance. And really, instead of looking for opportunities for success, you start looking for problems to solve. You start looking for ways in which you can use your talents and your gifts to solve problems that you're passionate about. And the result is a life of fulfillment. Success will be a byproduct, and it's a totally different level of living where you now have it all. You have that feeling of fulfillment, that feeling of value, and of course, you're living a true aligned life.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like that first level is really where everyone uses that buzzword about fear. That sounds that's really the first level.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. They're consumed by fear.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So how does one get from the first level to the second level? Does it just come about naturally?
No, it doesn't. You know, it's a decision. It really is a decision. And for many people, what they're going to have to do is change their environment, because we tend to be, we're products of our habits, and our habits tend to come about from our daily routines and the people that we associate with. And so what first step is to say, you know what, I'm not going to accept living this type of survival life anymore. There's a great saying that what you're willing to tolerate, you cannot change. And so the first step is that you got to say, you know, I'm not willing to tolerate my life like this anymore. It's not okay. I'm not going to rationalize that, well, I guess I'm just supposed to kind of suffer my way through. So it's just a decision first. And then to understand that everybody has fear. I mean, maybe you don't, but I know I do.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and success isn't, you know, about having an absence of fear. Success is about overcoming fear and just saying, you know what, I'm going to do it anyways, and start aligning yourself with people that have done that have made that step out of the survival mode and are living the dream and pursuing their passions and hanging out with them and learning how did they think, how did they get over their fears, and how can I incorporate that sort of thing so that if you can think like people that have done it think, then you'll be able to do like they've done.
Mm-hmm. So if you're in the second level and you're dreaming of success or freedom and looking for opportunities, is that where really passions come into play, or do the passions really show up in that third level?
You know what? They start oftentimes in that second level, but really it's the third level, because the second level, what typically what happens is we dream of success typically as a opposite of our survival. In other words, if we don't have money and we're just surviving, we think of success as just having an abundance of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we don't have any time, we're run ragged. We think of success as, man, a life of relaxation and freedom. And so we just think of the opposite. And that doesn't necessarily align with our passions. We just start looking for opportunities to create that better life, to get rid of the challenging, stressful life.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes what happens is people will get to that successful place only to realize they still have a hole. They're like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be like in this wonderful place of joy and happiness and deep fulfillment, and really, I should be. And then there's like this guilt. I've got time, I've got money, but I'm not fulfilled. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've never tapped into your passions and your purpose.
So that's really where the doctor was living, was on that second level.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And she'll get it from all angles because everybody else is on the survival level looking at her success, mm-hmm. listening to her complain that she's not fulfilled and getting upset about it.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
Like, who are you to complain? You know, you've mm-hmm. got it all. I wish I had your life. And then she starts feeling guilty, like, yeah, what am I thinking about? And that, you know, and goes back to doing what she wasn't happy doing.
Yeah, all these people have lost their homes and the starving children in, you know, the country of the week. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. So she gets guilt to say, how dare I to actually think beyond my all my things that I should be grateful for, and it's not about not being grateful. It's about being fulfilled.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's those people, I guess, who are not fulfilled that scream the loudest. What are you complaining about?
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite sayings: those who know the least know it the loudest. You know. It's,
yeah.
You know, and it's unfortunate. You know, and we fall back in the Simon Says game. We want to be accepted so much in life. I mean, that's one of our deep needs, to feel belonged. And so if we don't. If everybody's screaming at us, you know, we'd rather give up on our own deep sense of fulfillment than mm-hmm. feel we're not being a member, you know, not being accepted.
Now, that's a quotable. Is that your own quote, those who know the least know it the loudest?
No, I think so. I've said it so many times for so many years, I guess I could claim that one.
That's a definite quotable.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's true, and we got to be careful. Just because someone's screaming it doesn't make it true.
Yeah, exactly. So how does one clarify their passion? First of all, can you jump from the first straight to the third?
Well, absolutely.
Okay.
I recommend it because imagine actually pursuing your passions, using your talents and your gifts in this quest of fulfillment. Then you'd have success becomes a byproduct.
Mm-hmm.
So the success, the more you solve people's problems. See, business, truly great business, is truly about solving people's problems.
Mm-hmm.
As we always say, that entrepreneurship is nothing more than solving people's problems for a profit. And so if you can solve problems that you're passionate about, that tie in your gifts and your talents, then you're actually pursuing your passion. You're going to be deeply fulfilled, and the more you do it, the more successful you become. So what a great thing. The more you do what you love, the more success you also incur as a byproduct. So absolutely, you can jump straight to the third. Most people just have never been taught this type of thinking, this information, so they have to go through the process and go to the second level, become successful but unfulfilled, and then go, wait, there's got to be more, and then have to work to the third.
Or stay in the first level because they think, you know, money and success are evil.
Now, that's all another topic. That's right.
Yeah, I know, right? Someone who, like the doctor, who has a calling to be an artist or a musician, and their family says to them, well, that's not solving a problem. You need to do something that's more important. How would you tell someone who wants to be an artist that really is solving a problem?
Right. Well, that's a great point. See, because there's a difference in monetizing your passion or just in enjoying, you mm-hmm. know, a passion. And enjoying it, if say, hey, I just want to be an artist, then you can get a canvas and say an artist meaning the sense of a painter, say, and get a canvas and get your own paints and in your back room, just, you know, spend hours enjoying doing that. But it's certainly not solving anyone else's problem, so don't expect to be compensated for it. But on the other hand, if you can seek out, okay, what is it that's out in the world that needs solving?
Mm-hmm.
That is in line with my passions that then I can solve, then that's another story. So somebody who's particularly entertainment, you know, or artist, they are solving a problem. We want to create, I don't know about your house, but I actually have stuff up on the walls,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
you know?
I do.
Yeah. And you chose that specifically because you wanted it to carry a certain flavor, a certain environment in your home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's an atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And without it, if I just have white walls all over my house, that creates a certain atmosphere that is kind of problematic. It's
mm-hmm.
right. It's dry.
Yeah.
It's boring. So,
yeah.
So I need somebody who's got a gift or talent that I don't have to create some things that would solve the problem of creating the right environment in my home. So there's always a problem to solve. You just have to look at it the right way.
Or else we'd all be doing our own artwork. We wouldn't need
Yeah, and in my case, it would be scary, so absolutely.
Yeah, I think I remember how to finger paint.
Yeah, that's right.
There's some people who believe that artists actually create this world, that they're actually the most important people on the planet because of their aesthetic tone level. And in bringing the beauty to the world, they actually open up creative channels that the rest of us, you know, might never think of.
Oh, I absolutely, absolutely agree with that.
Yeah,
they do, and that's why we need so many different types of artists, because one artist will open up a channel that doesn't resonate with me at all, so I don't see any more beauty in the world, but may resonate well with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, absolutely, and it's all about creative exposure. I mean, we all have gifts and creativity inside of us,
mm-hmm.
but it needs to be tapped. It needs to be opened up.
Mm-hmm. So how does one tap into that? How does one find out what their passion is?
Okay, well, everybody's different. So I don't believe there's a one-size-fits-all. But I do believe that if somebody looks at it from a few different angles, certainly they're going to nail it. The first, let me give you three ways. The first is really just the simple process of asking certain questions. Like, you know, hey, what is it that I really love? I really love the what? Fill in the blank. I really love to what? Or time flies. I mean, when I'm what?
Mm-hmm.
Or friends, this is interesting, come to me and ask for help or advice on what?
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of times our passions are right underneath our nose, but we just take them for granted. We don't even think about that something we're passionate about. So sometimes it's just, hey, time flies. Man, I can't believe I've been doing this for 4 hours and it seems like 4 minutes, and I could do it all night long.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that might be a clue, you know, that
mm-hmm.
you might be on top of something. Or a lot of times people say, yeah, people always are coming to me asking my opinion on a certain topic or my advice. Well, that might tell you, you know, that there's some gifts there, some talents. And so really what we're looking for is connecting the gifts and talents, because often they're aligned with your passion. So that's really the first way. The second way would be to say to yourself, you know what, I got to stop looking for the thing and start looking for the feeling. See, a lot of times people are saying, what's the thing? And they're trying to think of their passion as a thing. And really, the clue is the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Feelings, whether they're positive or negative, or happy or angry or whatever, they tend to be triggered when something is connecting with a passion. In other words, if you say, you know, hey, what made me really happy was when this. Or the last time I cried due to joy was... what? When's the last time you cried? You literally had tears because you're so overwhelmed with joy. Or when's the last time I observed something that made me really angry, you know? What was that? And then it's, well, why did that make me angry? Or if you could change one thing in the world, you know, and often it's something that angers you or makes you really sad, you know, what would it be? And all those emotions are telling you something. And what's funny is we think that everybody would feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can watch some, you know, I can just pick, you mentioned the starving children of the country of the month,
yeah,
whatever. You know,
and you
see those commercials, and one person can sit and watch that and have tears rolling down their face, just
mm-hmm.
absolutely full of emotion. And someone else can just look at it, kind of blank stare, and say, well, that's too bad. Two totally different sets of emotions, because they're wired differently. They have different passions.
Or it could just be the photographer is really good at instructing someone on how to look sad. Maybe the passion is the photography.
Well, absolutely. Now we're going back to the talent of an artist.
Yeah, that's right.
But the key is that to look at the emotions. They're like gauges on a car. They're not the engine of the car, but they're certainly giving you feedback that you don't need to ignore. What's causing that gauge to move? Why? Why do you feel that way? What is it triggering? What's the injustice that you value or whatever it is? And then the third way is often to just look at the areas that you simply value most in life. What grabs you? And things could be like mind. Like, do you want there to be like more knowledge, more clarity or understanding, you know, because you are on this planet, or do you want there to be more health and fitness and strength, you know, because you're on this planet, because you really value the body, or spirit? Do you want there to be more spirituality in the world, more faith, more compassion, forgiveness, you know, more love for God or something, because you are here on this planet? I mean, in other words, you can kind of go through all the different areas of life, whether it's mind, body, spirit, senses, heart, entertainment, you know, the planet, freedom, technology, what certain area just really triggers you and you want there to be a difference in that area because of you, then that's a great way to dial in on it. So those are just a few different angles, but one of those angles, just by asking the right questions, checking with the emotions you have, or simply going through literally a checklist of things you value, you'll be able to dial in what you're passionate about.
Have you ever seen this book called Now Discover Your Strengths?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and they have that little interactive online questionnaire of 100 or 200 questions, whatever it is. That
yes.
would be a great way when people are just stuck or doubtful that they could just go on and take a quick questionnaire online without having to think about it, because I don't know about you, but I run into people who say, I just don't know. You know, they're in their own way.
Our biggest challenge in life is ourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. So, yeah, that's a great, and in that book, they do talk about skill meshing. And I think it's great, you know, discover your own. And if you're working on something with a team, it's great to have a whole team do that. And then that they call skill mesh and work together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great tool.
So let's say someone has identified their passion. We'll use the artistic thing, I guess, as an example. How would someone create a business around that passion?
Ah, okay, absolutely. Well, I've coined a phrase called the personal passion formula, and it's really simple, and it's something I want everyone to understand. And that is that there's really five steps to creating a business. And the first step is to do exactly what you just said, is that let's clarify the passion. Imagine that. I mean, most people, if we asked, hey, have you really designed your life around your passion?
Mm-hmm.
They kind of look at you like, what?
Yeah, I don't have time for that, yeah.
You know, I mean, I did what? And I remember a good friend of mine has been an engineer for 20 years, and I said, how'd you get into engineering? He said, well, I was a guidance counselor in high school, told me I was good at math, so I should either be a physicist or an engineer. And he said, and I just asked him which one made more money, and he said an engineer. So here I am 20 years later.
Wow.
You know, man, everybody's got stories like that. So
yeah.
Step one is to truly clarify your passion, right? And then the second step, the formula, is to wrap a personal brand around it. You know, let the world know you by you. You know, let's create a brand. Let's personally brand yourself around that. And there's a process to do that, to create a true personal brand. So when people think of you, they think of you in alignment with your passion.
Mm-hmm.
The third step then is truly to become an expert in your passion. Imagine that. There's your job. Actually become an expert in what you love and create quality content around that that passion. That's the third step.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last two are quite simple. It's about marketing. It's about using the power of the web. Social media and internet marketing can allow you, a person literally from their own home, to connect with the world. And when you have quality content to share with people around your passion with the world through those social media and internet marketing, you literally can connect with everyone. And then finally, the last step is just simply to pick your monetization strategy. You know, how are you going to now monetize? You've created a brand around your passion. You've created content that you shared around the world using this marketing, and now you just need to pick a monetization strategy. Are you going to offer a product? Are you going to do affiliate marketing, network marketing, continuity programs, coaching programs, advertising? I mean, there's all different ways, and so a person just picks what they are most excited about, and boom, they literally have a passion around what they love.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very quick startup, too.
Oh, yeah.
Very quick.
Very quick and very inexpensive.
I don't know if people understand how quick it really is.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, I mean, a person literally can be up and running in a day.
Yeah.
But I teach a 30-day challenge that in 30 days, you go through the personal passion formula, in 30 days, you can have a full-fledged business around your passion that's actually earning a profit.
Now, tell me more about that. Is that something that people would find in your book? Is it a program you offer online?
Yeah, it's a new book that will be coming out, and it's a program that is going to launch February of 2011. So just coming up around the corner, and it's an online educational product where a person literally can log in whenever they want, and we have an academy of elite instructors on each of these five areas that are teaching people exactly how to do them. Because the challenge with this process is that either people are totally underinformed. They have no idea what to do. Mm-hmm. Or they go on the internet and start trying to learn some of this stuff, and they get completely overwhelmed with all this information.
Yeah.
So what we've done is we've simplified it. We've taken the best of the best. We've got some of the very best trainers in each one of these five categories and streamlined it and simplified it. So with a series of videos and downloadable PDFs, or a person can literally just fill out some notes and stuff, they'll be guided step-by-step through these five steps.
So they might have five different coaches, one for each area, or maybe more?
Yeah, they'll actually have a few more. There's several coaches in each area, because some people will resonate with different personalities and mm-hmm. you know, some different angles. So yeah, there's several different coaches in each area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I want to go back and ask you one more question. Let me just look at my notes here for a second. This really caught my attention on how to find your passions in that second section. You mentioned the last time I was angry. What was it that made me so angry? That's interesting, because how could that be a clue to your passion?
Oh, you know what? That's great.
Yeah.
You see, we're taught sometimes that our emotions are bad, you know, and I'm not suggesting that people should just let their emotions run wild. I'm all about EQ and, you know, emotional intelligence. But anger is a very valuable emotion. It can definitely give you insights of something that's meaningful. I have a gal that has created an enormous movement around not just drunk driving, but truckers drunk driving and the state and federal laws that go around that, because she got very angry when a certain incident happened, and it just made her so angry that she decided, you know what, I realized this isn't just something that sort of makes me mad. It makes me so mad. I'm going to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not willing to let this go. And so it became a calling, and now it's turned into a full-blown business. That's what she does, and she's leaving a mark on the world in a very, very positive way.
I love what you say in your book. I've got that chapter 8 open, Anger is Evidence of Love. It says, if something crosses your path that truly infuriates you, don't turn your back on it. Don't leave it or avoid it because of the angry feelings that arise inside you. It has been said that anger is evidence of love. When you are truly angry about something, it is because something you love is being attacked. Most likely, you're right on top of your assignment when you consider the things that really infuriate you. Get involved, take a stand, do something about it. I think that's incredible.
Thank you. Yes, and I appreciate that. That's exactly right.
I like it, too, because I think it undoes the whole Simon Says thing. If we've been for 30 years been doing what our parents or somebody told us we should do, some high school counselor, and we've learned to become a little bit apathetic maybe about what we love, and we have trouble looking at what we love, why not look at the opposite? Why not look at what makes us angry? It almost gives us permission to dig in there and be okay with our own passions.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, see, anger is evidence of love. I mean, the person isn't necessarily angry, like the example I was just giving, at the individual with the drinking. It was the innocent individual mm-hmm. that was hurt by it that mm-hmm. they loved so much that it was wronged. And so that stirred up that passion. So you bet, absolutely. We people have been wronged because they've been led astray to play the Simon Says game. Now, I'm not angry with the people who led astray, because guess what? They didn't know any better either.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't know any better. But if comfort is the enemy of excellence, if we fall into being comfortable, I mean, I'm going to date myself, but it's the old, you know, Pink Floyd song where it said comfortably numb. You know, most people are walking around being comfortably numb. And that's not what you're put on this earth for, just to survive and be comfortably numb. You have gifts that only you can solve certain problems in the world. That's a hard one for people to swallow, but mm-hmm. it's true. There's certain problems in the world only you can solve. You've got the passion, the gifts, the talents, and the ability to make something happen. So mm-hmm. if it ain't going to happen if you just kind of have this mediocre feelings. It's only going to happen if you get fired up and you get passionate, you get a little angry about something that's being wronged, and say, you know, I'm going to do something about this, and my life's going to count as a result.
You know, I like that, mediocre feelings. I mean,
yeah.
How many people have that and they just don't even want to look at it? But it's so true.
Oh, so true. You know, and at the end of the day, when we take our last breath, you know, we're not going to be sitting there saying, you know what, I should have just put in some extra hours in my job. And we all hear this sort of stuff, mm-hmm. you know. But we're also not going to say, you know what, I should have just put my head in the sand and avoided more of my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to say that.
No.
What we're going to say is, you know what, I'm glad I did, or I wish I would have
mm-hmm.
gone after what I was passionate about in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish I had lived more.
I wish I had lived more, done more,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So what would be the next step for somebody who wanted to live a life, a passionate life?
Great question. The next step is, number one, to say, okay, I'm placing the flag in the ground right here, and I'm making a stance to say my life as comfort and just simply kind of burying my head in the sand like the mediocrity that we talked about is not acceptable. In fact, nothing is acceptable other than me truly living a life of passion and purpose, period. So first you have to make the claim to yourself and make that a stance that you're going to stand by for the rest of your life. So that would be step number one. And then step number two would be to begin the process. Let's start clarifying your passion and to connect with people that are teaching exactly how to do that. So connect with you. They can go to personalpassionformula.com and enter their name and email, and I'll be able to send them updates and information and insights. And when we launch our product in February, they'll be able to know that that's launched and everything. But the main thing, whether it's me or you or however, get involved with the pursuit of your passion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. That's terrific. In closing, do you have anything else that you want to add?
Well, the only thing I really want to add sincerely is a great thanks to you. I know a bit about your story, and I know that the stance that you've made and the flag that you've put into the ground stating that your life is going to be all about, you know, uplifting and helping other people have a life of passion and purpose. And so I just really acknowledge you for doing that and not letting circumstances beat you, but rather you declare, you know, your own life and say, hey, I am going to make this happen. And so I just am appreciative of being aligned with you. And I look forward to this journey of a life together where we encourage more people to join us in making their lives count.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your time today. I want to turn off the recorder and hold on for a minute and ask you one more question offline.
Sounds great.
Hold on.